All right, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And we're just doing one verse, and we're literally going to break this verse down to the minutest details. And I don't think my message is going to go that long today. So I do have a part two, but I'm probably not going to get to it. So just advance. But it'll be up on the notes if you want to get that. So Matthew chapter 6, if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and one of our ushers, make sure you get one. Matthew 6, just verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We love you. We're so grateful, God, for the 13 people that just graduated from the EG class, and just the work that they've been doing, God, and the grace that you've shown them, and I pray that you'd bless them, especially heal their bodies, God, as we've done some extremely strenuous exercise. Just touch them, Lord. And God, I just ask, Lord, that you would now come and speak to us through your word, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 Just before I begin, we have some very special guests here. Jennifer and Jason Chu, the leaders from our church in Singapore, are here visiting. So you guys want to wave your hand and say hello? They're so shy. They really are incredible leaders in our church plant there, and so I just want to just give a shout-out. All right, so give us their daily bread. This is the fourth petition in these series of petitions, or fourth section as it pertains to the rest of the prayer. And you'll notice that this begins a whole shift in the prayer. The beginning of the prayer was all about God. So turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. It says, all about God. Go ahead. So it goes from this part of the prayer, it goes from your, and now it totally shifts to us and to our. So now, turn your other neighbor and say, okay, now it's about you and me. Go ahead. Finally, it's about us, okay? So remember this beautiful order of Jesus' teaching. So he teaches us, just like he'll say later on in chapter 6, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, and all these things will be given to you as well. Different translation will be added to you as well. And so we see that the priority is putting God first. And then, look, when we put God first, everything that we need will come upon us. I heard this commentator say that really simple, if you seek God first, the things that you want will begin to seek you out. And it's this divine order that happens in our lives. We put God first. We are about his kingdom. We're about his initiative. We're about his heart, his agenda. And then, now, it's not just all going one way. And then God says, when you start with that place first, then there's a moment where it becomes about us. Isn't God so good? He's just not this megalomaniac that's just me, me, me. And he says, well, put God first. Put me first. And then everything else flows from that place. So it changes in this order. It goes from your to us and to our. Again, the first focus was on God and his agenda. And then what God does, then he focuses on us and what we need. God is concerned with our needs, every single one of us. This is his promise. Philippians 4:19, he says, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." God is concerned with the things that we need. And it's quite interesting that when you look at this passage, notice, and this is a really insightful anecdote that really leads into God's heart. Notice that God is interested in your natural well-being before he's interested in your spirituality. Isn't that interesting? It should have been better if he wrote on there, because remember, he's following this very specific order. He should have said, forgive us our sins. In other words, deal with my spiritual needs first before I deal with my natural needs. But he doesn't do that. He goes and he touches us in our natural needs, in our place of sustenance, in our place of survival. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. Natural before we get to the spirit. In other words, he has us attend to our bodies before our spirits. You know why? Because our natural well-being is necessary for our spiritual well-being. Don't ever lose sight of that. Our natural well-being is absolutely necessary for our spiritual well-being. You guys won't see them, but at the 11:30, the rest of our EG guys are going to come. Here, I think John's here. John, wave your hand, right? John is really, really sore right now because we did some serious exercise. Because part of the EG class, discipleship, it really is about wholeness. It's about the whole man. And so we ask everyone to exercise at least twice a week. And so I basically test them when we get to the retreat, and we very easily see if they've been exercising twice a week or not. And so, you know, we go through a bunch of drills, and, you know, I go back to my football, American football mentality, and we do all these, even the ladies do all these drills. But it's this idea of wholeness. And because I recognize that if our physical bodies are whole and well, that affects so many other things. It affects our emotions. It affects particularly our spiritual well-being in that same regard. It's very difficult to maintain a vibrant spiritual life when we are unwell, when we're hungry. Have you ever come, and I know the messages are so incredible, but then you come in here and you're hungry and you're thirsty. You don't listen to a word I say. You're just trying to figure out your next, you know, restaurant reservation and where you're going to eat afterwards, especially during the fast. I know how that works. And so these things happen, but when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, when you're tired, when you're sleep-deprived, when you're in debt, when you have no money, all these things have a bearing in our spiritual life. And so this idea, if you think about this, this idea when God and the Lord begins to talk about salvation, we tend to typically just see salvation as, well, I'm going to go to heaven. But salvation, if you really look and break it down, it means so much more than that. It's the Greek word soteria. And soteria, which is talking about salvation, the better word is not really saved, but the ideal translation is rescued. He rescued us. He saved us, but it's this idea that we were in a dire situation and he rescued us out of our circumstances and out of our death and our sin. But the rescue is holistic. When you go back and look at the etymology of the word and begin to study that, it's talking about emotional well-being. It's talking about physical well-being, particularly our health. Salvation is talking about our relationships. Salvation deals with our well-being in terms of our finances. And it's basically the wholeness of who we are. When we are truly saved, that means that every part of our life, our emotions, our physical bodies, our mind, all these things, our will, come into this incredible alignment before God. That's what God wants. God just doesn't want you to go to heaven. I mean, God definitely wants that. But that's just part of that. When we talk about living heaven on earth, part of heaven on earth is that everything that's available in heaven, we begin to live this out here on this earth. His wholeness. That's what it means to be saved. There was a student conference many years ago, and I remember hearing this, and they asked Elizabeth Elliot, who's a very famous Christian author. Her husband was Jim Elliot, who was martyred within like 6 months of him going on the mission field, and then she carried on the ministry afterwards. And he was killed by the Aka Indians. And so a bunch of students asked Elizabeth Elliot and said, you know, Miss Elliot, what is the key to an effective prayer life? He said, is there any secret? What is the secret to an effective prayer life? And Elliot, without even blinking, she says, the key to an effective prayer life is 8 hours of sleep. And people were like, huh? You know, we thought she was going to say, like, you know, you got to, like, crouch down really low, you know, or you got to find a little place and have a right time. She says, no, the key, the secret to an effective prayer life is 8 hours of sleep. What happens to our bodies, what happens in our emotions, affect what happens in our spirit. It's all interconnected in this regard. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, And Booth had this really famous quote. It was really about his life. And he said it real simply. He says, it's really difficult to preach the gospel to a man who's hungry and who's cold, you know, who's shivering from the cold. And he recognized, man, because I need to attend to the whole man. I can't just tell this starving, you know, shivering cold man, hey, believe in Jesus. And so I need to feed him. I need to clothe him. And it wasn't so much the idea of a social gospel. I mean, that description came back much later on. But it's this idea that I'm ministering to the whole person in this regard. And so I'm loving on them by sharing the gospel with my words, but also sharing the gospel with my deeds and with my actions. And it's this beautiful idea. And so Jesus, again, he has us attend to our bodies before we attend to our spirits, because our natural well-being is necessary for our spiritual well-being. It's important. God has a great concern for our physical well-being. God has a great concern about your work. He has a great concern about your relationships. He has a great concern that you're able to provide for your families. He has a great concern that you have a purpose in your life. These are all these elements that pertain to well-being. He's concerned that you have good friends around you, that there's fellowship and there's encouragement that happening in our lives. That's this whole idea of being saved. And so when we talk about daily bread, we're going to talk about bread and what bread means later on. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But he's really, really is concerned with our physical well-being, okay? So let's break this down. We're just going to go word for word, okay? And because each one is so rich with meaning. So the first thing, give. Say give. So God says we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We give, not sell it to us, not lend it to us, but God gives to us. It teaches us quite simply that God is the giver of all things. Isn't it great that we don't have to borrow, you know, for these things, or we don't have to buy from him? He says, I give it to you freely. It's the gift of salvation. And in fact, the idea of the Messiah, the end times, is really that anyone comes and they can buy milk and bread and meat, and Jesus says, without charge. That's the sign of the end times. That's the sign of the coming of the Messiah, is that everything is free, that you can ask, and he gives to us freely in this regard. And so in that same way, he tells us that we ought to pray that he would give to us. Not lend, not buy, to give, because he is the giver of all things. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is the giver of all things? Because if you do, it will really change the way you handle what you've been given. That's part two. I'm probably not going to get to it, but we'll figure that out another time. And so the second one, obviously, is us. It's us. Notice, in this regard, it's not me only, but it's to others in common with me. It's interesting that this is my daily prayer, but I pray in plural instead of in singular. When I pray about us. It teaches me to be concerned for other people as well. I'm just not concerned with bread and sustenance on my table, but Lord, give us, give everybody, give my body, give the surroundings, my family, daily bread. Not just to me only, but to us. And this really helps us in our prayers because, I mean, honestly, a lot of times our prayers can become very selfish. They can be just about me or about my family. And the Lord is teaching us through the prayer that it's about us. This suggests that we are part of a bigger body of believers. It suggests that we are part of a family of God. We are part of something so much bigger than we are. And we have to be able to, even in our prayers, constantly connect ourselves with other people. And it's not just about me. It's about us. It's about us being together. John, the beloved. I mean, this is John. This is after he has revelation, and now he's called the apostle of love. And it's not the same John who in Luke wanted to bring fire down from heaven. You remember that John? That John's gone, and now this is the beloved John. But he says something really interesting and really point blank. And he says, do you have this world's goods? And then you see your brother in need, and you hold on to what you have. And he asks this question, then how then can you say that you have the love of God in you? Now, again, that's John, the loving John. And he has such a stark word for the church of his day. And he says, you have the world's goods. In other words, you're blessed. You believe that God gave you everything. But then you see your brother in need because it's about us. And he says, and you hold on to what you have. You're greedy. You're selfish. And he gives us this point blank. You have to ask yourself, do you really have God in your heart? He says, how then can you say that you have the love of God in your heart? It's not just about me. Brothers and sisters, probably the greatest lesson that you can learn in these days is simply it's not about me. It's not all about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my desires. It's an us thing. We are all in this together. This is really, in my personal humble opinion, probably some of the most powerful services that we've had at Solomon's Porch is not so much when the Holy Spirit comes down in power and, you know, and people fall down and they speak in new tongues and people get healed. I love it. That's fantastic. I mean, that's God moving. I mean, that's heaven on earth. But to me personally, the most touching services that we've had, or I should say the most meaningful for me personally and probably the ones I cried at the most was when people shared with one another. It's when people really gave to each other. You know, and there's something so powerful about that. It started way back early on, and if you don't mind, G, I'll tell a story about you guys. You know, and I remember when G and her dad was sick, and some of the guys came up to me and said, hey, Pastor Sam, you know, G's parents, they're not well, you know, and they're pastors. And so I think we should help them out. And prayed, I said, sure, let's do it. You know, and this is early on, we're like maybe, 30 people in our church, you know, maybe even not that much. You know, and so we went and said, hey, let's take them an offering, you know, for G's parents. And I mean, in other words, let's share. You know, let's honor God and the good things that God has given us because we believe he's the giver of all things. And so let's share. We see a brother in need, another pastor, a man of God, and plus our sister, you know, whom we love dearly in our body. And let's bless them. And then it was crazy. How much was it? It was quite a bit of money. It was like, yeah, enough to cover all their expense, their medical expenses, like $30,000-$40,000 US, something like that. I don't remember. But it was so beautiful to see our little congregation just really share with each other. I remember the retreat that we went on years and years ago when we had Stefan Hugo. Remember Stefan? You know, the South African YWAMer. And he came, and in the last service, he talked about generosity. And then he had us come and just one by one and just as the Spirit led to just give freely and to just anything, share with each other. And I would say in all the services in almost 15 years in SP, I probably cried most in that service. I cried from beginning to end. And I was just so touched by the generosity and touched by the sharing. And they started off and, you know, brought me up and they gave me a really nice South African cowboy hat, which I have to this day. And then you know, some other things. And then people came up one after another, and they just shared with one another. It was powerful. It's the embodiment of us. Do you know what I mean? The embodiment of us. And it wasn't, you know, such big things. Some were little things. But it was the body of Christ being the body of Christ. And we were not just me and you, but we became us. And that's such a beautiful thing when that comes together. That's why I'm so gung-ho about house churches, because house churches teach us to live and be us more than anything else. And so please, if you're not in a house church, please get plugged in and learn to be us. All right, this suggests, it teaches us, also when we talk about us, it teaches us charity. It teaches us to have compassion, a compassionate concern for the poor and needy, because it's all about us. It also imitates also that we ought to pray together because it's us as a family, since we also eat together in this way, if we're going to take bread in a literal sense. And so the prayer is not just a personal thing, but also it tells us it's a corporate affair, that we should get together to pray the prayer as a body of Christ. It's us. Give us. The next part, this day, not this week, not this month, but this day, teaches us that we need to renew our hearts to God every single day. Just as the wants of our bodies are renewed every day, so our hearts should be renewed every day before the Lord. It's so simple. Every day you need to wake up and you need to eat. I mean, until we hit January for the first part. You wake up and you need to drink. Every day there has to be sustenance in your body to continue to go forward. How much more so? You think about that. That's our body. How much more do you think our spirit needs to be fed? Think about that. We are so concerned with the way we need to feed our bodies, sleep, exercise, food. How much more do you think, brothers and sisters, that we need to also take care of our spiritual well-being, our spiritual body, our spiritual needs in this way? Every day, we need to renew this every day. Just like our bodies need to be renewed every day, our spirits need to be renewed every day. And think about this, brothers and sisters. We would never treat our bodies like we treat our spirits. Isn't that true? We would never treat our bodies like we treat our spirit. The crazy thing is, the Bible tells us that our spirit is eternal and more important than our physical body. But every day you feed yourself, every day you clothe your body, every day you rest and do all these things, exercise, some of you. But yet when it comes to the spiritual things, when's the last time you had your quiet time? When's the last time you opened the Bible and met with God? When's the last time you prayed? And it's crazy. You would never go weeks, I mean, outside of fasting, you would never go weeks without feeding yourself or clothing yourself. But seemingly, sometimes, we go weeks or even months. I mean, some of you, I'm looking at your face right now. I can see it in your eyes. You're like, oh, P. Sam's reading my mind right now. Right? Because it's been months, sometimes even years, that you've actually sat down and had a decent conversation with God in your prayers. That's a travesty, brothers and sisters. He asks us to come to this place, and obviously, daily, every day, this prayer, I mean, not just this prayer, but this building of this relationship is supposed to happen every single day, this day, not this week, not this month, but this day, every day in that regard. And then we go back, and again, it goes back, it's R, related to the daily, R. It's not bread out of someone else's mouth. But it's bread. It's what God has given to me. It's our or mine in this way. This teaches us honesty and industry. It teaches us to be fair. Proverbs 20:17 says, bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Proverbs 31:27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. It teaches us industry. It teaches us to be honest. Because it's our, God will give each one of us our portion. So we don't have to take someone else's portion. We don't have to rob from anybody else. We don't have to be deceitful to take from any. God will give us our allotment. Every single one of us, He'll be faithful to do that. It teaches us honesty and industry. Daily, every single day. Now, this is why we broke it up. It was this day, so we understand that, but daily is a very special word. Actually, this word in the Greek is only used twice in the whole Bible. And both times are in this prayer. It's here in Matthew. It's also in Luke chapter 11, which is the same pericope dealing with this prayer. And so, and crazy enough, when you think about this, this was not used in Hellenistic Greek culture. This was not even used in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And so most scholars believe that Jesus created this word. It's great. I mean, can you imagine when you can create a word? I actually created a word. Do you guys know that? Do you guys remember when I said you can re-virginate? That's not in the dictionary. I created it. I'm responsible for that word. I'm very proud of that. I use that in the context of, you know, if you were not a virgin before you got married, but you commit your vows and you say, Lord, I'm not going to, you know, have sex or do anything before I get married. And then I said, you can re-virginate. So that came from me. So if you ever see it somewhere else, make sure I get the credit for that. Not that there's no money involved, so it doesn't matter. But Jesus, he created this word. That's what most of the scholars say. Think about it. It's not in Greek history. It's not in the Septuagint. It's only twice used in the whole Bible, this idea of daily, and found nowhere else except for in this passage. And so scholars believe that he coined this phrase. D.A. Carson, the great New Testament scholar, he believes that the best translation of this word is the coming day. The coming day. Very rare of this. When he says daily, now we know daily in other passages, but this Greek word actually means the coming day. And so why this is significant is because Jesus really is giving us a model of prayer in this way, because it goes like this. If you prayed in the morning, daily means today. If you pray in the evening, daily means the coming day. You see how the Lord is so generous with us? You could pray in the morning, you could pray in the evening. It doesn't matter how it goes. And he specifically coins this phrase to make sure that we're covered. When we pray, so he very much means that we're supposed to do this every single day. I mean, you see this laid out here, but in the morning, it means today. You pray, if you're an evening type prayer, how many guys are more evening type prayer people, right? A few of you, morning type of prayer. So I guess some of you guys are never type of prayer. Okay, we don't want that. But in that regard, and so in the morning, it means today. If you pray at night, it means tomorrow. And I mean, the more and more I study this passage, I'm so amazed at Jesus' insight that he wants to give us. I'm so amazed at the beauty of the way he constructs this most important prayer in our lives. It teaches us not to take thought of tomorrow, but to depend on divine providence. Today, right now, or even tomorrow, but every day we depend on him. It's daily. It happens every day, this coming day, and we depend on him every single day. Brothers and sisters, that's a good way to live life. That takes us out of self-centeredness. That takes us out of our selfishness. It really releases us into the right posture before God, that we depend on him every single day. You know, a great thing for us to pray or even sing. And many times I find myself singing this song, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. It's a powerful chorus that relays our absolute dependence on God every day. Daily. The last one here is bread. Bread. We ask for what we need and what is good for us, but that will not ruin us. We ask for what we need and what is good for us and will not ruin us. I want to talk a little bit about bread because this is really important. Daily bread refers not only to food on our tables. But daily bread refers to life's essential needs. This petition, again, does not refer to literal bread only. Yes, bread is a part of it. Bread meaning food or meals or sustenance in that regard. But in the Hebrew, bread meant all kinds of nutrition, but even more than that. It meant all kinds of nutrition, but even more than that. R.T. Kendall, this is what Kendall says. He says, daily bread, it's up on the screen. Daily bread refers to everything non-spiritual that we must have in order to live and cope. It refers to physical needs, emotional needs, material needs, every need not specifically mentioned in the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. It's quite powerful. Everything that we need. So think about this. Bread, when Jesus is saying this, is everything non-spiritual. Do you need friends? Yes, we need friends. That is part of daily bread. Do we need a job? Yes, that's a part of daily bread. Do we need encouragement? Yes, that's a part of daily bread. Do we need a healthy body? Yes, that's a part of daily bread. Do you need funds, you know, to take care of your family and eat? Yes, that's a part of daily bread. It's not just talking about literal bread, but it's talking about everything that we need. Encouragement, job, rest, all these things are encompassed in this aspect. This includes shelter, it includes clothing, it includes financial needs, it includes emotional strength, it includes a clarity of mind, includes friends and fellowship, it includes transportation needs, it includes our job, our career, our future, whatever we need. Think about this, whatever we need to get done, what we need to get done every single day, that's what God asks us to pray for. Isn't that powerful? It's not, this breaks us out of this poverty mentality. Lord, just give me my measly little piece of bread. That's not what Jesus is asking us to pray for everything. Everything you need to succeed, that's daily bread. Everything you need to succeed, okay? So, John Calvin, this is what Calvin says. Calvin said this petition refers to whatever God knows to be essential in our lives. Everything that is essential, you can pray for because this is part of daily bread. Martin Luther, Luther said it meant everything necessary for the preservation of this life. Food, a healthy body, good weather, home, children, good government, even peace. Martin Luther said this is part of daily bread. And so one thing that I've been praying for a bit with our kids right now is I've been praying that God would give them really good friends at school. Because you know, my daughter Elise, you know, she's 12, you know, she's in junior high school now. And so, there's a shifting that happens eventually. And all my friends that are a little bit older that have teenagers, they're telling me, just wait, Sam, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait. And there comes a moment, you know, our sweet little innocent kids, and all of a sudden, you know, they listen to us, and there becomes a moment when our voice is not as strong as the voice of our peers or their peers. And so, parents, I'll give you a tip. You should start praying for their peers. Ask God to bring them godly people around their lives, godly kids and children that would really speak truth into their lives. That's why it's important to pray for the youth group. You know, the youth group is going on a retreat next month. I've been praying for them already that Elise would be surrounded by godly children and they'd be raised up and learn godly principles. And it's important. But that's part of this daily bread. It's not just food on my table, but when I'm concerned about my daughter, when I'm concerned about their well-being, so is God, because he asks us to pray for daily bread. It's part of this, is praying for our children. Even Luther says it's praying for good government. It's all a part of this. Now, you say, well, is that too much to pray for? Are we getting too nitpicky about this? Do we need to pray for all these little things? Yes. Look, if it's important to you, it's important to God. Don't make the mistake of saying, oh, God's too busy. You know, he's in Afghanistan figuring that stuff out with ISIS. And, you know, he's too busy for my little needs and, you know, my, you know, I have a little sniffle. God, can you heal me? And you know, but I know you're busy, God. But if you can, please do. But if not, it's cool. I understand, and I can take medicine and blah blah blah. That's the wrong attitude to have. Let me give you what John Stott says. Stott, the great English Bible teacher, John Stott observed that to decline to mention our needs on the ground that we should not bother God with such trivialities is as great an error as to allow trivialities to dominate our prayers. Yeah, I sound a bit off on the mic here, okay? I'll read that again. John Stott observed that to decline to mention our needs on the ground that we should not bother God with such trivialities is as great an error as to allow trivialities to dominate our prayers. Do you guys understand? In other words, Stott is saying, pray about everything that's on our heart. That's this idea of daily bread. Now you know, remember way back when we started this thing, and we said generally when the early church prayed the prayer, it was a one-hour prayer. Do you remember, you guys are, maybe if you grew up in Sunday school and the church and these things, that we used to sing this hymn, and it's called the Sweet Hour of Prayer. Do you remember that? Sweet Hour, I'm not going to sing it for you, but Sweet Hour of Prayer, probably none of you. It's a really good hymn from back in the days. This hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, actually referred to the Lord's Prayer. And because throughout the life of the church, they recognized to actually really pray the Lord's Prayer took about an hour. And so thus, the writer came up with this hymn, the Sweet Hour of Prayer. And it's interesting. Now you know why it takes an hour. You know what I mean? Because we got a lot of needs to take care of. You know, praying for our children, praying for their friends, praying for our businesses and our jobs, praying for our welfare, our health, our parents' health, and so on and so forth. That's all laid in. That's bread. That's what Jesus considered bread in this case. It wasn't just literal bread that we have. It was so much more than that. And encompassed so much more. Everything. Shelter, clothing, financial needs. You know, the big takeaway when we really read and understand this, the big takeaway is that the Lord is really, really concerned about you. He really is. He's concerned with the minutest details of your life. He's concerned with those things that are kind of passing thoughts in your mind. He loves us so much that way. I remember, I think it was last year, when we had Kenneth Bay. Remember Kenneth Bay, who spent like almost 2 years in prison in North Korea. And he came and he shared with us in a morning prayer. And it was his, he shared a lot more, but his testimony was amazing. And he said that on his, what he would do is he was hard labor. He would work 6 days a week, but the seventh day he was rested. And so, but it wasn't rest because they would just show North Korean propaganda TV and he had to watch it. And so, he'd sit in the chair and his guards would watch him, and he had to watch this propaganda all the time. And so during that time, he would pray and just try to take his mind off the propaganda. And he said this one time, and he says, you know, he didn't even pray. He just had this thought pass by his mind. And he just said, just this thought, like, I would give anything for some Kit Kat, for some beef jerky, for some macadamia chocolate. You know, he's from Hawaii. So macadamia chocolate nuts and some chips or something. I forget what the fourth thing was. But it was these four things. And he didn't even pray. It was just a thought that passed by his mind as he's watching North Korean propaganda TV for 12 hours a day. And so he's watching this, and it's just this thought, I would love some Kit Kat. I would love some beef jerky. I would love some a chocolate macadamia nut. And I would love some chips or something. And then about 2 weeks later, his mom was able to visit him at the prison. And so she came, and so she said, I said, son, I brought you some stuff. And wouldn't you know, out of her bag, she brings out Kit Kat in the same order, Kit Kat, beef jerky, chocolate macadamia nut, and the fourth thing, I think chips or whatever it was. And Kenneth was saying, he was so blown away. He's like, I didn't even pray this prayer. I didn't even ask God for this. You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't like, I said, Lord, I would love Kit Kat. I would love He didn't even pray. He said it was literally a thought that passed his mind for about 1 second. But God heard. I mean, it'd be better for him to be released from prison. You know what I mean? It eventually happens. But that's what I mean. God is interested in the most intricate details of our life. Brothers and sisters, don't think that God is too busy for you. Don't think that he's unconcerned about this little matter. If it matters to you, it matters to God. See, now you know why this order is important. Can you imagine if we went and started asking for bread first? Our prayers would be crazy. You know what I mean? Our prayers be like, give me 10 Rolls Royces, and you know what I mean? And, you know, and all these kind of things. Lord, give me 1,000 bitcoins, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, we'd go crazy with this thing. But when we come into alignment and we get God's order first, and it becomes about His kingdom and His agenda, and then we present our needs before Him, God moves in our behalf. No detail is too small for God. If God can bring to pass a one-second thought in Kenneth's mind, can imagine what God will do on our behalf when we pray the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen? All right, I'm done. Let's close our eyes. He is the giver of all things. He is the source of all things. Acts 17:28. For in Him we live and move and exist. And even some of your own poets have said, for we are also His children. Brothers and sisters, He desires to give us all things. That's His heart. James 1:17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Let's have confidence today, brothers and sisters, in asking the Lord for what we need to succeed. We just have to get the order right. And when we get the order right, man, God moves in our behalf. And so as the worship team leads us in a song today, I want you to, now, if you haven't done so already, go back and hollow His name. Go back and make it about His agenda first. And we'll do that by singing this song together. Just commit yourself, submit to His agenda. Say, God, I want Your will, not my will. I want Your kingdom, not my kingdom. And then I'm going to lead us in praying for our needs. Go ahead, Nate. Why don't you lead us?
I cry out for Your hand of mercy to heal me. I need Your love to free me, oh Lord, my rock, my strength and weakness, come rescue me, oh Lord, You are my Your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow You forever. For You are good, for You are good, for You are good to Oh Lord,
Stand to our feet. We're going to sing this again. See, this song really embodies in many ways the reason we can pray, because He's so good to us. Isn't He so good to you and to me? And let's continue to hallow His name. And then I want us to pray for our needs. Whatever you need to succeed. If there's a situation going on in your work, ask God to move in your work. That's your daily bread. That's what you need to succeed and thrive as a follower of Christ. You're having some stuff going on in your family, that's your daily bread. God knows you need that. You can pray to Him. Don't be bashful in any way. And I invite you, want to come to the front and just offer our needs and just begin to lift our needs before Him, whatever they may be. If you need healing in your body, that's your daily bread as well. God wants to move on your behalf. Come and receive prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you in this way. So let's sing this again. And if God's moving you, maybe you're very bashful. Maybe you need a revelation of God in your life to recognize that I can come run into His throne of grace and receive mercy and help in my time of need. You don't have to be insecure or scared. He is a good Father that loves you, that wants to give good things to His children. In fact, He asks us to ask Him for that. Give us this day our daily bread. So I want to invite you to come to the altar and get some real estate and just ask Him, Lord, give me my daily bread, God. Go ahead, lead us. Go ahead. Thank you, God.
For you are good to me. Let's go to I Cry Out. I cry out. For your hand of mercy to heal me, I am weak. I need your love to free me, oh Lord, my rock, my strength in weakness. Come. Cry out for your hand. I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. I am weak. I need your love to free. For you are good to me. For
Again, but I want to encourage you guys that are back. If these are one of your friends, come and minister to them. Man, Holy Spirit's moving powerfully here. Just lay your hands on somebody and just agree with what God's doing in their life right now. Let's continue to pray for our friends here.
Sing, I cry out. For your hand of mercy to heal me, I am weak. I need your love to free me, O Lord, my rock, my strength in weakness. Come rest. Again, I cry out. I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. I am weak. I need your love to free. To follow you forever. You are my hope, and you are my hope. Your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow you forever. For you For you are good, for you are good to me, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me, for you are good, for you For you are good to For you are good For you are good For you are good to me For you are good For you are good For you are good to
Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you, God. God, I'm so blown away, Lord, of how intimately acquainted you are with our needs. Lord, forgive us for misunderstanding the prayer, God, We thought that we just had to be content with just a loaf of bread. But Lord, you asked us to ask for the kingdom, God. And so we come humbly, Lord, and we pray for healing, God. We pray for favor at work, Lord. We pray that family members, God, will be reconciled, Lord. We pray for our health and our bodies, God. We pray for relationships, Lord. We pray for husbands and wives to come out, Lord. God, would you come and give us what we need, God? We need wisdom to operate in our families, God, in our workplaces. God, there are so many things that we need, God, and you're not offended by any of those things. You're not offended by any of those requests, God. In fact, you ask us to pray for them every day. You're such a good God. Forgive us, God, for not taking you up on it, for thinking that you're too busy, God, for thinking that you're not interested in us. God, we're so wrong. You love us with an everlasting love, and you ask us to pray every day for our daily bread. And so would you continue to teach us at this time, God? Teach us to be aggressive in prayer, Lord. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And can we just close in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We can keep praying. The rest of us, just give someone a hug. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day today. We'll let you out a little bit early. You know, praise God. And so have a wonderful time of connecting.